Well, it was 4:39 a.m. on Monday, last Monday morning, when I woke up and I reflexively reached over to the nightstand to get my phone. And my intention is always to go to Ligonier.org and listen to the scripture, but often what happens is some notice from Facebook flashes on and you check it, you know. And you finally get there, you know, eventually. Well, I pushed the button and it wouldn't come on. And I thought, what in the world? It's charging. I know it's charging because you can see the green light blinking. And the red light was blinking when I plugged it in the night before. Couldn't turn it on. So I started thinking, well, started feeling guilty because I hadn't prayed for my kids in like a month altogether. And if I'm trying to puff myself up, you can tell I'm not doing a good job. So I began to pray for my kids, one at a time. And that their lives, what I wanted God, what I envisioned God would do in their lives, and how I wanted them to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. And then I began to pray for myself, and I started to think, Mary Beth, I'd like to write another book entitled 8 Stamps. Subtitle is A Legacy in Desperate Need of a Godly Man. It occurred to me as I was praying for my kids that I had to become something that I wasn't. Because I started thinking about legacy. I wanted to pass something on to them. If I were to go away today, I could give you some utility bills. So the kind of legacy I have in mind to pass on to you is not something you're going to hear pronounced by a probate judge saying, you know, you get the bicycle, you get the bar of gold. But it's a legacy that's spiritual. It's something that you'd have to catch. It's something you'd have to listen to. It's something you'd have to see. It's something you'd have to observe. And that title came to me, though. I said, I wish I could write that book. I can't write it. But the message to me was clear. And that is, you need to be in regular touch weekly with your kids. Use a stamp. 8 stamps, 8 kids. And I thought, wow, I haven't started yet, but I'm about to. And I started thinking about you. Who are you close enough to influence? Very beautifully on one of the tables, there's a Bible verse written out. It's Proverbs 20, verse 7. In the essence of it is it says that a righteous man leaves a legacy. If he walks in integrity, this righteous man, if he's an upright walker, his children will be blessed after him. That is predisposed to a blessing. They'll have a path to follow. Perhaps there'll be an influence for them to follow. There'll be a lot for them to live up to, but there'll be a trail blazed. And as we think about how do you become this godly person, I'd like to take you to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Because there we find out some things. And what I like most about this passage, Philippians 3, 7 through 10, is his pleading in verse 10. Oh, that I could. He wants to intimately know the Lord. And very curiously, he says he wants to know the fellowship of his sufferings. He wants to actually fellowship in his sufferings. Now, what was he? At times he was lonely. You ever been lonely? At times he was disrespected. At times he was discredited. At times he was thought of as a buffoon, an imposter. Have you ever felt any of those things? Have any of those things ever been said of you? Or you, do you suspect that any of those have been said of you? He was not desirable. Have you ever felt undesirable? The fellowship is, Lord, I'm lonely. But Father, Jesus, I realize that you were lonely. And thank you for saying that you would walk with me in my loneliness. You know, in Hebrews 2:18, it says he was tried in all ways, like us. And because he was tried in all ways as we are, or can be, he is able to succor or to help those who are tempted. It says that he suffered. And the way it's written in the original language, the suffering was the temptation. He was in pain as he was being tempted. That is, it was hard. The human side of Jesus wanted to sin. And he's able to succor. That word means run out anxiously to aid. So if he's been tempted in every way like we are, and his attitude is he's waiting to rush out, hurry it up to aid you, where are our excuses to not call on him? But as we look at this passage in Philippians, and we put it on like a jacket, and we'll go through it verse by verse, verses 7 through 10, I'm going to explain to you how that if you become a person that can wear that passage, then the people who you are closest to, whether you're a father or not, the ones that can see you, the ones that can hear you, the ones that can observe you, will catch what you have. They'll notice. There'll be this allure. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth. Well, what you'll be lifting up is the personality of Christ. Paul said, I want to become just like you so I can experientially know you. I don't want head knowledge. I want to experientially know you. But let's look at the passage together. In Philippians 3:7, it says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. He was raised in Tarsus. Only wealthy people lived in Tarsus. He was raised in the lap of luxury. He was sent to the Jewish theological schools. His parents disowned him as soon as he became one of those onerous, disdainful Christians. Counted it all loss. For what? For what comes next here? For the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ experientially, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. Now he's not talking about the original acquisition of salvation. He's talking about appropriating his perfection, appropriating his graces, appropriating the fragrance of his personality. That's what I'm after. He's already saved, but I want, as a Christian man, he's saying, I want to be imbued with all that he is, so that when you see me, you truly see Christ. So that when later Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, he's seriously following Christ and serious with his invitation that you'd follow him in it. And verse 9, be found in him. That is, that it turn out to actually be, that my character be found in him, that it would turn out to actually be, that I am in my character and in my outward appearance to other humans to be exactly what I profess to be. That's what it means in the original language. Found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, that comes only from perfect obedience to the law, by the way, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. As I walk, we're talking here again about personal righteousness by faith. He gives it to me, this righteousness. I want, verse 10, to know Christ. That is to say, I want to come to know. I don't want to just get a lesson on him for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon. I want to experientially, gradually, day by day, come to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. I want, he was really literally saying, I want the resurrection power of Christ, that spirit of Christ that raised up Jesus from the dead, to course through my veins now. And participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to participate. I want a fellowship, as we said earlier, in his sufferings. If I'm lonely, I want to say, I'm lonely, Lord, but I thank you, Lord, that you were lonely. And since you said you are able to help me in my loneliness, help me understand it. I thank you that you traveled that lonely road for me. And you went up that Mount Golgotha, and you laid yourself out on those two pieces of wood, and you allowed them to stab you in the wrist with a nail and thrust you in the side with a spear. I thank you for that. And now, Lord, I know you're able to carry me, to walk with me through my loneliness, through my rejection, through my fill in the blank. So, as I think about leaving a legacy for my family, as you can see, I'm thinking about how you might leave a legacy for your family. And you don't have to be a father, you don't have to be a mother, you don't even have to be related to the person who's watching you, seeing you, observing you. It can be just like that man that you said greeted you at the shop. What city was that in? Tennessee. A man walks up to Mike, and he's always happy to see him. Likely because Mike is such a dour, introverted person, right? No, opposite. Then when he gets him alone, he says, "You know, I'm having a problem in my marriage." And he explained that he felt that he was the kind of man who he could tell that to confidentially, and that he suspected would give him good advice regarding it. Because as he walked in his life, that gravitated him. Somehow he understood it. You all have these same opportunities. As you, I think of foreign exchange students that my son-in-law Matthew has gotten to witness to at, what is the name of that college? M-Tech. I always think of that, whatever that is next to Bay College, what's that called? M-O. All right, so that's why I get confused. Same name. All right. But just in his own little world up there with all these geniuses that know math, he's been able to, in helping these foreign students, speak to them about their eternal destiny. You'll have that same opportunity to leave a godly legacy. And I'll close with this story. You know, I mentioned to you that the president of the Southern Baptist Convention was fired for immorality. And a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, they elected J.D. Greer to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is a denomination, the largest Protestant denomination in America. 47,242 churches, 15 million on the rolls. By the way, only 5.2 attend, but 15 million on the rolls. And he made an interesting comment. The questioner said to him, the interviewer said, "What are you going to do to bridge the gap between the 5 million and 15 million? And he said, "Well, the reason my wife and I took this position is we used to be missionaries. And now we see our position as the president, if I took this position, if the membership thinks it's useful for them because he was nominated, we intend to use this new position, this new platform, in service to the Great Commission. And so, well, I'm not so concerned about the gap between the 5 and the 15 as I am concerned about the gap between the 5 and the rest of everybody else in America that doesn't believe. But it was remarkable that he said, my goal is to continue to serve the Great Commission. The last words Jesus said to us before he was raised to heaven is, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples. So the reason why you want to be able to give a godly legacy, as I've described it, is, I'd like you to have it in your mind, is so that you can continue to and actually serve the charge we were given at the end of Jesus' life. Often the last words that a man or a woman speak are their most important words. So think about who you can influence. Think about who you can so live in front of that they ask you for your advice and they open the door and you're able to directly speak into their lives. Think of who you're going to be left behind, who you're leaving behind, and what the impact of your life has been and will be on their lives. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise your name. We do thank you for how you have called us. We blaze a trail one way or another. And if we are dissemblers and we leave behind a trail of confusion and a path that nobody would want to follow if they could find it. Father, each of us in this room, I'm convinced, want to be the other kind of legacy givers. We want to leave behind a godly legacy so that those that don't know yet are curious enough about how we live to find out and to ask and to be told and to learn. We pray, Father God, that you would help us. And as your word reminds us, you're willing to run out eagerly to aid us when we are pilloried with temptations of all kinds, which are designed to throw us off of our purpose and focus. And help us to be ones that call out to you in those events. We thank you for this gathering. Help us to be the men and the women you've called us to be. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.